January 17th, 2018 edition of the American Awakening. I'm your host, Michael Herzog, and as always, I'll be with you for the next 2 hours. Now, for those of you who don't recognize that music, that was the theme from the Pink Panther. You know, the sleuth, Peter Sellers, who was supposed to be the private eye, who was the bungling private eye. Just thought I'd throw that in there for this show today. But I want to give, as I get started into this, another shout-out to Marin, Wisconsin, and folks in Carolyn, Idaho, and John in Austin, and Pat in Arkansas. You guys don't even realize how valuable you've become to me because of the limited time I have to put a show together. The information that you keep sending me is just great. So I want to thank you for that. So, getting back into this, I'm on a roll, so I'm not going to stop. Since 139 BC, folks, 87 countries, nations, or political entities have expelled them. And you know who they are. Why? Well, the Jews have been expelled 359 times from nations or political entities. And this is taken from the site birthofanewearth.blogspot.com with sources, places, times, and dates, and it's all documented. Well, Maybe their track record through history, not inclusive of what I'm about to share today, as the Bangster Gangsters are still alive, well, and operational here in the U.S., but I took a quote, actually a paragraph, from Dennis Wise's The War on Christianity, the same guy who produced the movie The Greatest Story Never Told. And this quote states that since 1945, little by little, the increase in the Jewish/Zionist domination has been so stealth-like that only one man in 10,000 suspects the real purpose of the New World Order. With a world capital intended as Jerusalem, World War III, planned by the banking cartel, will begin when their Ashkenazi masters in the city of London, in readiness, by the way, for the coming Antichrist, finally decide that Israel should start rebuilding the Temple of Solomon. The Temple of Solomon, destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD. Its ruins lay beneath the site of the secret shrine to devout Muslims called the Dome of the Rock. Now, to implement this task will require the removal or elimination of the Palestinians. You think that might have anything to do with what's going on over there right now? Also, the destruction of the last main military threat of Iran. Have we not heard the war drums beating on Iran for the last 12, 13 years? The subordination of surrounding Muslim countries to corrupt governments willing to sell out, like Egypt, Bahrain, Jordan, and Saudi Arabia. Are they not already willing to sell out? Are they not already puppets? Yes, they are. Now, I want to shift the focus just for a moment after I've read this to you, because all of this, I hope, is going to be taken into context. It's going to be sifted through, and I'm going to tie all this stuff together for you. So let's shift to a headline of CNN mainstream politics as of December 6th, 2017. Trump recognizes Jerusalem as the Israeli capital. Do you think that's going to fuel any fires, folks, in the Arab world? Absolutely, because there's a mosque sitting on the very spot that they want to rebuild that temple. So, the U.S., the U.K., and the French military forces, well, they've already provided, or been provided, to fight on behalf of Israel in Afghanistan, Iraq, and Libya. And only a U.N. veto by Russia and China has stalled further Western military intervention into Syria. Now, meanwhile, in occupied Palestine, without any army, no navy, no air force, Israel continues their systematic extermination of the population. You want specifics? Tune into my show and listen to the archives from yesterday. This so-called war on terror had its wheels set in motion with a false flag event on September 11, 2001. Now, folks, I want you to keep all that in mind, all right, as I proceed here. So the next question is, what happens when a military insider, with a Jewish family background, by the way, puts the blame for 9/11 right at Israel's doorstep? Now, I'm going to play a clip from a press TV interview with Dr. Alan Zabrowski. This guy's credentials and his credibility are so vast that it took the interviewer better than 2 minutes to list them all. So in the interest of time for this show, I've skipped that part. So I want Dan, my engineer, to go ahead and play that clip. Start it at the 2:10 mark, and let's go ahead and play this clip. Folks, this clip is about 10 minutes long, but it's going to give you some real good insight here, because we're going to tie all this together. Go ahead, Dan, play that clip.
Who is an American with Jewish ancestry. However, Zabrowski bravely addresses this sensitive and controversial topic as someone devoted to the security of the United States at any cost. So what happens when a military insider puts the devastating terror attacks of 9/11 directly at Israel's doorstep? Dr. Alan Zabrowski, thank you so much for joining us on The Autograph.
My pleasure, Susan.
Tell us how you make the case for Israel's involvement in the tragic 9/11 attacks?
There were several different ways of doing it, Susan, and this may be a little bit more background than some of your people need, but I began to have suspicions about what had happened on 9/11 about 2 weeks after the attacks. There were several discontinuities that made no sense to me whatsoever. The behavior on the part of some of the named terrorists, these 19 Arabs on four planes, running around flying schools like loose cannon, not having the pilot skills to fly the aircraft, no recognition for what they had done afterwards in their own area, their own community. And it struck me that for many reasons, none of the arguments that were being given for what they did made any sense. But I then immediately forgot about it until about 2 years ago. And then I came across a video which I found to be extremely disturbing. That video was an interview with a Dutch demolitions expert named Danny Jawenko. And it concerned the collapse of the third World Trade Center tower to go down on September 11th. This was the 47-story World Trade Center 7, the third tallest building at the World Trade Center. Jawenko had never heard of it. Neither had I. And when you looked at the building, you saw that there was effectively no damage to any face of the building. It had not been hit by a plane. It had not been taken major trauma from debris. And it went straight down into its own footprint in about 7 seconds in what was visibly a controlled demolition. You know, and it was pretty clear that whatever those 19 named Arabs on four planes, two of them at the World Trade Center, had or had not done, they could not have had any possible effect on that third building going down. Shortly after that, I came across, partly out of my own curiosity, which this definitely aroused, in a very extensive video, both of which I've cited, by the way, in some of my recent articles, which were taken on 9/11 itself from what became Ground Zero, the base of World Trade Center 1 and 2, the Twin Towers, involving police, emergency services personnel, newspaper and television correspondents. And you can see and hear secondary explosions at the base of the World Trade Center buildings. Now, planes impacting at 800 to 1,000 feet above the ground are not going to cause secondary explosions at the ground floor. And this followed over into other reports, also there on September 11th, about vans in the area, white vans. In one case, a van was picked up by police and people arrested at the access to a major bridge. The van was filled with explosives, and the two people in it were Israelis. In Bergen, New Jersey, same day, a van with several people in it had set up cameras. Before the first plane hit, they were filming the Twin Towers, and they were celebrating. High fives. It was a good thing for them. Residents called police. Police arrested them. All five were Israelis. What intrigued me, in addition to angering me, was that within days, all of these reports disappeared from the media. Most Americans don't know that a third building went down at the World Trade Center. Most have never heard about the secondary explosions reported by CNN, ABC, Fox, and others at the ground, at the foundation of World Trade Center 1 and 2. None have ever heard about the vans. So I began looking at this very carefully, and one of the things that I began looking at was just what would it have taken for a special operations group of any particular nationality to have done 9/11, either by having taken control of the operation we have been told about of the 19 named Arabs on four planes, or having run a parallel operation where you have four planes being hijacked, but there is another operation being done with those in concert. And I picked up three particular factors that would need to be taken into account. One was motivation, a second was expertise, and the third, the critical one, was access. Now, when it came to motivation, it's probably a very sad commentary on where we are in the world today, that there are an awful lot of countries and groups out there in the world that have either real or contrived reasons to hate America. It wasn't that way when I was a young man, but then many things weren't the same way now as they were when I was a young man. But almost all of the groups and countries that might want to do this only had a negative reason for doing it. They wanted to hurt us. The Israelis had a positive reason, and it's one that a number of their supporters had talked about from the 1990s on up, and what was called the Project for a New American Century, whose members included, by the way, later Vice President Richard Cheney, later Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld, and many of the so-called neoconservatives, most of them Jewish, but not all, who came into the first Bush administration. Israel had a positive reason, and was get the United States involved in a war in the Middle East with a powerful, enraged, anti-Islamic strain within the American public, that they needed a catalytic event to produce this. They even talked about it in terms of another Pearl Harbor is needed to bring the American people into this fight. The second was expertise. Lots of expertise out there. Bringing buildings down and controlled demolitions is something that almost any intelligence agency of any country in the world can do or can contract. There are many private agencies that do this. But one thing is absolutely clear. Neither those 19 named Arabs on the plane nor Al-Qaeda as an organization had the expertise, the technical expertise to do that. And there is one very clear proof of that. If Al-Qaeda and its affiliates had had the ability to wire even one building for a controlled demolition at the World Trade Center, much less all three of them, the so-called green zone in the heart of Baghdad would have been a pile of rubble. And it wasn't. But the last is access. The World Trade Center security was an Israeli-owned company. Security at all three of the airports from which the four aircraft on 9/11 departed, ICTS, was an Israeli security company. That security company, by the way, also had security at the airports in Paris and Amsterdam later, from which the so-called shoe and underwear bombers departed. The security company at the World Trade Center had 24/7 state-of-the-art electronic surveillance and foot patrols. Wiring a building for a controlled demolition, and I must confess here, this is not my specialty. I have heard what people who do this for a living have said about it, but it is not my specialty. But the description of it and the video of Danny Jawenko that I mentioned to you is a very good one on this. And he described it in which if you needed to do it in a few hours, you would need 30 to 40 people, fewer if you had more time, cutting open the walls, literally cutting open the walls, all the way around the building, implanting the explosives, running detonator cord and cable, wires to put them to a control system, coordinating all of this activity. This is not something that involves the casual bringing in of a briefcase and leaving it at the foot of a building's elevator and going out again. This is extensive work, and it would require the type of extensive, sustained access that could not go unremarked by the security forces in place on this.
Okay, go ahead and cut it for now, Dan. Let's go to a break. We'll continue it when we get back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. I'm going to summarize it, and then I'm going to get into something that is even much more disturbing after I give you a synopsis of my thoughts on this. Be right back, folks.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Well, it's all right, riding around in the breeze. Well, it's all right, if you live the life you please. Well, it's all right, doing the best you can. Well, it's all right.
Yeah, as long as you've been at hand, folks. Michael Herzog, we're back with the American Awakening, and Dan, go ahead and pick that up. Let's see if we can get rid of the rest of this clip during this last segment here. Go ahead.
And apprehension, and to have their escape concealed. And they had that done. All of the Israelis who were apprehended in those vans were later released in about 2 months at the direction of Michael Chertoff, then the second director of Homeland Security, dual U.S.-Israeli national. There is no mention of them in the mainstream media, which is largely Zionist-owned. All of the major networks, all of the major national newspapers, all three of the weekly news magazines, all of the major political journals, most of the major publishing houses. It simply didn't happen. The only thing that happened on 9/11 that was discussed in the media, that have been accepted by the government, that was described in the 9/11 Commission, are 19 named Arabs on four planes bringing down two buildings. And the rest of it, in Orwellian terms, has become a none event and a none story.
And, you know, since you just pointed to the 9/11 Commission report, there's an understanding that the primary motivation for 9/11 was U.S. support for Israel's brutal oppression of the Palestinians, also conveyed in the 9/11 Commission report. I guess my question is, how are these two incidents, or theories, so to say, related? And, you know, there are those that will brush off your argument as a conspiracy theory. Are you concerned?
I don't think that's so much of a conspiracy theory. I was smiling when you said that, because to tell a bit of a story on this. Back in the early 80s, when I was in Washington at the Center for Strategic and International Studies, one of our visitors for a luncheon talk was a young gentleman then named Francois Heisberg. Heisberg was the special assistant to French President François Mitterrand. And I don't know how this subject came up, but he said, you know, Americans never see conspiracies anywhere. We French, he said, we see conspiracies everywhere. And both of us are wrong. This is not a conspiracy in the sense that it is usually used, the word is usually used, which is to denigrate an opposing argument. When someone in the United States says that that's a conspiracy or that's a conspiracy theory, by definition, they mean it is irrational, illegitimate, and without proof. All I would suggest to people is that you look at the films of WTC 7, that third tower going down on September 11th. You look and listen to the reports on September 11th with the secondary explosions. These are not fantasies. They happened. You look at the reports on September 12th of the apprehension of Israelis with vans of explosives and cameras filming the events on September 11th. These are not fantasies. And you look at the people riddling the American government, all of the Middle East people in State Defense and the National Security Council, Deputy Secretary of Defense Paul Wolfowitz, Undersecretary of Defense for Policy Douglas Feith, who used to be a friend of mine, by the way, from Philadelphia. These people were all part of the neoconservative movement. Many of these people are dual U.S.-Israeli nationals. All of their primary allegiance is to Israel.
In a recent article, Sobrowski explains why
Dan, go ahead and cut it off. I'm going to come up here on the break, and when I get back from the break, folks, I'm going to give you a quick synopsis of my views on this and tie a couple more things together here. But then as we proceed, I'm going to share with you a very disturbing interview that was done literally back in 1976 between a journalist and an insider, Jewish, call him Illuminati, call him whatever you wish. And what I read in there made the hair on the back of my neck stand up. I'm going to share that with you. But first, let's go to a break. When I get back, I'll do an overall synopsis of Dabrowski, and then we'll move on. Be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. owner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Thought they were all kidding you. We're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from the Valley of the Sun. Now, a quick synopsis of this. Danny Jawinko, the clip that Zabrowski watched of him, talked about the third tower. Not so much that, folks, but the explosions in the buildings. William Rodriguez came out and talked about that, and he was actually invited to main events with the high elites. When he started talking about those bombs going off, they ostracized and vilified him. But those white vans, filled with explosives, with two Israelis in them that were arrested, not to mention the vans in New Jersey with cameras set up and five Israelis that were actually celebrating, high-fiving, and dancing. These guys were arrested. It disappeared from mainstream media, and they were released, ultimately, within 60 days by dual citizen Michael Chertoff, dual citizen of Israel. And guess who was the FBI director during that time? None other than the same guy that's doing this faux pas investigation of Donald Trump, Robert Mueller. Now, as I said, within days, the reports disappeared mainstream. And he talks about the motivation, expertise, and access. Well, Israel is the only country with a positive reason for pulling off something like this. And it was written in the PNAC document signed by a number of neocons, many of whom were Jewish, but all of which were Zionists, or most of them. The expertise would have been easily done through intelligence, or they could have contracted it out. Al-Qaeda did not have the expertise with which to do it. And the access, and here's a key issue, folks, the security for the World Trade Center was Israeli-owned, and all the airports involved, including the shoe bomber and underwear bomber, were all Israeli security. It was all Israeli controlled. Now, later on, a couple of months later, these five individuals were interviewed on Israeli TV, of which they had made a quote. One of them said that, and by the way, it is said that two of these guys were Israeli Mossad. He said that Israel experiences terror over there all the time. We wanted to go film terror happening on American soil. Well, the question that comes to mind is, how did they know this event was going to happen? Two of these guys were Israeli Mossad, okay? Is this any surprise to us after what I had just reported yesterday about the USS Liberty and the fact that all of those generals, the admirals, the Marine generals, all these highly decorated generals agreed that it was an act of war, yet no newspaper in the country even covered it. It was only covered in the Stars and Stripes abroad. Now, what do you know what the word Sionim means? In the movie The Godfather, the first scene in the movie where there's a guy thanking the Godfather for taking care of these thieves that were coming in and, you know, roughshodding the guy and charging him money on a weekly basis to stay in business, well, the Godfather took care of it. And Marlon Brando in that scene, first scene of the 1972 Godfather, says, "There may come a time, or it may never happen, well, you will be asked to do something for us." Remember that secret society? He said, the day may never come, but if it does, you'll be asked to do something. And the guy said, "Oh, yeah, anything, Godfather, for you." Well, remember that secret society I talked about where they said that they were going to put the Zionist bond over and above every friend, every family, or every nation? That's called Sionim. At any rate, putting all of this together, all of this evidence, all of the expertise, the motivation, the access, the Sionim dual citizenship of the people that signed the PNAC documents, the head of Homeland Security, another dual citizen, Mueller, who was the head of the FBI, and Dirty is, well, stink on doo-doo, all right? All of this stuff, along with Sobrowski, points a finger and lays it right at the doorstep of Israel. But that said, I'm going to move on here because there's something I'm going to share with you now that really cements it in, puts it in stone, if you will. It's an interview that contains the text of the most revealing and shocking interview of a Jew by the name of Harold Rosenthal, which was conducted way back in 1976 by a concerned patriot, Walter White, Jr., a journalist. Mr. Rosenthal was a very influential Jew, learned in the Jewish ways, and involved in the workings of government in Washington, D.C. He was actually the assistant to Jacob Javits, who was a sitting senator in Washington, D.C. at the time. He explained the Jewish involvement and cause of the major problems we face today. Now, Rosenthal, in exposing certain aspects of the inner invisible world of Jewry, revealed the modes and tactics Jews have used in destroying Christian civilization and covertly attaining control over our lives and governments. And the result has been a hidden tyranny upon us, like the tyranny waged against the saints by the red beast system of Revelation referred to as Mystery Babylon. So a lot of this is biblical, folks. But how could such a small number of Jews enslave so many people and gain such an overwhelming control of their governments, especially without there being us being aware of it? Well, the answer to this may be found in Christ's parable of the unjust steward, which represents Jewry. They are able to prevail in the world despite their ungodly ways because of their cunning and shrewd ways. As Christ said, and I quote, "For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light," unquote. That's in Luke 16:8. In other words, the Jews, with his worldly mind set, is wiser than God's Christian people. And when you read the words of Mr. Rosenthal, and the reality of this statement is going to come to light. The problem was so prevalent and important for us to overcome that Christ himself had instructed us to be as wise as serpents in Matthew 10:16. Now, America and the world is now covered in political, economic, moral, and social problems which need to be acted on by Christian people. And as Edmund Burke stated, the only thing necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. But before we can properly act, we need a proper, not just a superficial, understanding of the problem. So what I'm going to provide for you is going to help with that understanding. In the manuscript, the emphasis shown as underlying text has been added. Well, I'm not going to worry about that because I'm going to put this out in such a way. It's White interviewing this Rosenthal. I'm going to put it out in such a way where you know who's asking the questions and you know who's answering. So, in this highly confidential interview with a Jewish administrative assistant to one of the nation's ranking senators, he said it is a marvel that the American people do not rise up and drive every Jew out of this country. Now, remember, it's been done in 389 different times, not necessarily countries, but political aspects, influential aspects, and I believe it was 84 countries. This Jew, Mr. Harold Wallace Rosenthal, made this statement after admitting Jewish dominance in all significant national programs, and he said, and I quote, "We Jews continue to be amazed with the ease by which Christian Americans have fallen into our hands. While the naive Americans wait for Khrushchev to bury them, we have taught them to submit to our every command. Now, this submission has been made possible by the gradual adoption of Talmudic concepts as being Christian, thus producing a Jewish society. It is what Rabbi Martin Siegel called the Judaization of Christianity." Does Judeo-Christian now ring a bell that has been introduced slowly into our society? When asked how a nation could be captured without their knowing it, Mr. Rosenthal attributed this victory to absolute control of the media. Isn't that just what Sobrowski said? He boasted of Jewish control of all the media, any newspaper which refused to absolutely control of the media. He boasted of Jewish control of all of the media. Any newspaper which refused to acquiesce to controlled news was brought to its knees by withdrawing advertising. What's happening to RBN right now? Okay, we've had to go the way of public, the way of PBS because of advertising, scaring them, threatening them. And failing in this, the Jews stopped the supply of newsprint and ink. It's a very simple matter, Rosenthal stated. And when asked about men in high political office, Mr. Rosenthal said that no one in the last three decades has achieved any political power without Jewish approval. Americans have not had a presidential choice since 1932 when Franklin Roosevelt was our man. Every president since Roosevelt has been our man. Even before Roosevelt, the Jewish influence upon Woodrow Wilson from 1913 to 1921 was quite evident, as Henry Ford wrote in 1921, and I quote, "Mr. Wilson, while president, was very close to the Jews. His administration, as everyone knows, was predominantly Jewish." That was out of the International Jew and Dearborn Publishing Company, number 3, page 28 and 29. In a discussion about George Wallace, Mr. Rosenthal smiled and suggested that we note where Wallace stands today. When the U.S. foreign policy was mentioned, the bedroom confidence of the interview was all but set aside. With disdain and mockery, he sneered at the American stupidity in failing to see through the entire scope of Kissinger's foreign policy. He said, quote, "It is a Zionist communist policy from beginning to end, yet the civilians or the citizens think this Jewish policy will benefit America," unquote. Now, the reason for this is because the Jewish media refers to the Zionist communist policy as American policy, pursuant to constitutional provisions. Ignorance of our own system of government is a real issue here. He cited Detente and Angola as examples of Jewish diplomacy. The credulous nature of Americans drew only contempt from him. Now, the interview continued on an almost omniscient plane. He said, we Jews have put issue upon issue to the American people. Then we promote both sides of the issue as confusion reigns. And with their eyes fixed on the issues, they fail to see who is behind every scene. We Jews toy with the American public as a cat toys with a mouse. And as the conversation went on into the late hours, one could sense that perhaps America deserves the reign of power being planned for her. The Jewish mind puts every ethnic group pitted against each other. Sound familiar, folks? The blood of the masses will flow as we wait for our day of world victory, Rosenthal said coldly. This is the same dialogue spoken by communist revolutionary leaders. And for hours after this incredible discussion, a sense of inadequacy prevailed. Is it possible that another group of human beings could be so treacherous in spirit, so evil in intent? Yet the words heard and the evidence at hand are real. Is it possible that the American people can remain docile even while their life's blood is being drained from them? Well, it seems so. So what does all this say to us? Since the time that this lengthy interview was recorded, and it was recorded, I emphasize that, Mr. Harold Wallace Rosenthal, at the time age 29, the administrative assistant to Senator Jacob J. Javits of New York, was killed in an alleged skyjacking attempt on an Israeli airliner in Istanbul, Turkey, on August 12, 1976. Now, it would appear that Rosenthal might have talked too freely, because although four people were killed and some 30 injured during the skyjacking attempt, Rosenthal was not killed by a random bullet, as were the others. From reports secured at the time, it seems amazing and strange that of all the people involved in this incident, Mr. Rosenthal should have been fatally wounded. And meanwhile, I, Walter White, he says, who conducted this confidential interview, can now state, after much investigation, much expense, and travel, that Harold Rosenthal was undoubtedly murdered at the Istanbul airport in what was to appear as a hijacking, probably by his own people. Now, there is nothing that the international Jew fears so much as the truth, or any hint about the truth about himself or his plans. That also comes out of the International Jew, Volume 1, page 200. We had no desire to hurt anyone, and especially members of the Rosenthal family who had suffered enough in this tragedy. We corresponded with his mother and father in Philadelphia and his brother Mark David Rosenthal, who was attending college in Northern California. And in fact, it was he who advised me that Harold's friends in Washington had set up a memorial fund in Harold W. Rosenthal's name. He sent us a copy of the Harold W. Rosenthal Fellowship in International Relations and the American Jewish Committee, Washington Chapter, 818 18th Street, Northwest Washington, D.C. And it lists some of the who's who and the honorary co-chairman, Vice President Walter F. Mondale and Senator Jacob J. Javits. Now, out of respect, they decided to wait 1 year. Until 1 year had passed since Rosenthal's death, they delayed publishing everything he gave them on that Memorial Day and evening. And as stated before, the interview was lengthy, and he seemed to enjoy pouring out this information, and at times it was broken and went on into the evening. This writer and editor is not easily shocked, but this egotist, Harold W. Rosenthal, raved on and on. I found so much of what he said actually horrifying. The actual betrayal of which he admittedly was a part, and he appeared to gloat over the apparent success of a Jewish world conspiracy. And this, mind you, comes from an administrative assistant to one of our ranking, at that time, ranking senators, Jacob J. Javits of New York. And what I'm about to share with you needs to act as a warning to all of us non-Jews throughout the world. It hopefully should open the eyes of many who knew him in Washington government circles. It becomes indeed obvious that what he discloses is not fiction. It is not imagination. He was not pretending as he spoke with knowledge and intelligence. And many things have been said and written about the One World Jewish Conspiracy, but never been described so openly. It staggers the imagination because their plans are shocking and many will be astonished at the contents of this document. Nothing like it has ever been told before. Now, they prefer, and I prefer, not to elaborate. They say, and I say, you folks, you be the judge. Looking back to a time of this interview and having had time to analyze Rosenthal's candidness, we are compelled to think of him as a conceited, boastful, yet very knowledgeable person. I would classify him as an egotist and an egoist. At times, his cruelty surfaced with a venom, especially as he describes the stupid Christians, or the goy, as he so often referred to us. This surprised me because the word goy is not in our language, and he must have known this. His mind was thoroughly immersed into the one-world plan of world Jewry, and with arrogance he boasted that the Jews' conquest of the world was almost complete thanks to Christianity's stupidity. When asked if he was a Zionist, Rosenthal replied, "That's a hell of a question." Excuse me. He says, "That's a hell of a question. At the foundation of the issue is the traditional Zionist concept of Aliyah, a Hebrew term meaning the gathering or return of diaspora, the dispersed Jews, to the Palestinian homeland. And ever since 1948 and the creation of the State of Israel, Aliyah has become a basic imperative of Israeli government policy. I hear the music. We'll be back in three. I'll continue with this. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from the Valley of the Sun. Be right back.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guaranteed. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo in so much space. And when you're out there without care, yeah, I was out of. But it wasn't because I didn't know enough.
All right, folks, we're back. Is this all making you crazy? As crazy as it's making me? Yeah, Rosenthal replied that that was a hell of a question. Whether he was a Zionist. So what is a liar? Will you please spell it for me wherein he did, and we inquired as to the realistic meaning of the Aliyah. Rosenthal said, the Aliyah is a permanent physical migration to Palestine, not just a visit. Okay? Now, Palestine is where Jerusalem lies. Trump just declared Jerusalem as the, the capital of Israel. Is this tying into you folks? We asked, what is Zionism? I've heard Jews define it as anything from permanent migration to financial and spiritual support of Israel from around the world. And Rosenthal replied, well, our first leader, former Prime Minister David Ben-Gurion, said that Zionism without a return to Zion is phony. Now, not many Americans, Jews, migrate permanently to Israel. And some say that all Jews, by definition, are Zionists. Others say that a Jew is not a Zionist unless he is a member who pays dues to an actively Zionist organization. Definitions have been tossed everywhere since the Jewish homeland became a reality, and Zionist propaganda and activities have always been based and accepted on the false assumption that the Jews are Israelites, making Palestine the Jews' land, and that they only need help to get back and to build up their state. Thus, gullible Christians support them, i.e., Judeo-Christians, the evangelicals. Millions of tax-exempt dollars are sent to Israel yearly, and we true Americans do not like this. And Mr. Rosenthal replied, the naive politicians in Washington are gullible. Most of them are not too bright, so the powerful Jewish lobbyists influenced this practice years ago, and there is no one strong enough to stop it. Some of that money is even returned to the United States and spent on Zionist propaganda efforts, much of it through the B'nai B'rith and the Conference of Jewish Organizations and the World Jewish Congress. The Jewish Agency is a funding arm, a sort of body of B'nai B'rith officials. There is nothing wrong with sending American dollars to Israel tax-free, so long as we are smart enough to get away with it. Now, let's reverse this conversation for a minute. You made it clear and quite vociferously that you don't like Jews. Why do you hate us? He says, I don't hate anybody. I said I hate what the Jews are doing to us, and especially as it relates to any and everything related to Christianity. I hate their deceit, their cunning, and their detestable dishonesty. Does that make me anti-Semitic? If it does, then I guess I'm anti-Semitic. Anti-Semitism does not signify opposition to Semitism. There is no such thing. It is an expression we Jews use effectively as a smear word to brand as a bigot like you guys, anyone who brings criticism against the Jews. Top of the hour break coming up. I'll continue with this when we get back. Stick around. More to come.
I'm through with doubt. There's nothing left for me to figure out. I've paid a price, and I'll keep paying. I'm not ready to make nice. I'm not ready to back down. I'm still mad as hell, and I don't have time to go round and round and round. It's too late to make it right. I probably wouldn't if I could, 'cause I'm mad as hell. Can't bring myself to do what it is.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.